Hello everyone, welcome to Heart to Heart. This is new on the newlivingletters.com audio page website, on the newlivingletters.com website. I'm doing these recordings in obedience to the Holy Spirit for those that go on the website. These recordings will not be on the radio broadcast. And this is something special for those who go on the website. And I thank the Lord for that. God loves his people. It's all about his love. And when the Lord gives something to do, I try to be obedient. It's very important to obey his spirit. Now, the Lord, there's many things the Lord wants to do. And he uses his people strategically. The anointing of God is strategic in itself, and I thank God for it. The Lord chose me to do this. He called me to the ministry in 1987. And a little introduction. I give my testimony sometimes on the radio, so I make it brief. Son of a Methodist pastor, Thurston Edison Hamby Jr., and he was a blessing. I learned a lot from him, and I didn't start off wanting to be a minister at all. I wanted to do something for the kingdom of God, but I didn't really want to be a minister until the Lord gave me my first sermon. And he called me in 1987. And when I realized that he would give me a sermon, or he'll give me what to say, that's when I got interested. A year before that, he showed me, I was asleep one night and he took me to hell. And I saw people falling into hell, into the pit. And I can't forget it, I still remember it. And many people were falling in there, but I focused on two people. One was a lady, she died. I don't know why she died, but she died. She was in her early 20s, and I still see her. And there was a boy that was 15. He got killed by his kidnappers. They were modern day pirates. They kidnapped him, and they ended up killing him. And he died at the same time that lady did. And I wanted, you feel so sad for people when they have to face the eternity of hell. And the dream was short. I woke up. But it wasn't just a dream, because I was there. I felt the heat. And they were, where I was positioned, they were closest to me. I focused on them, but in my peripheral vision, I could see thousands of people falling in there from all over the earth. And I wanted to do something. So did God. But he can't make a person believe on Jesus. The kingdom of God is a volunteer kingdom. People choose to believe. When they hear the gospel, they respond in faith, or they reject it. People do one or the other. And if they reject it, then God can't help them. And if they don't hear the gospel, then, how can they hear without a preacher? We need to share the gospel. And there are many challenges to share it. Sometimes it's your own concerns or your fears or whatever, and their response. But the gospel has to go out. People must be warned. And when I saw that dream, I wanted to do something, but I still didn't want to be a preacher. But he called me to the ministry in 87, and I took it seriously. And because he took me to hell and I saw what I saw, I took it even more seriously. But in 1988, he taught me something. Now, in ministry, I had a ministry, but I also had a business. And my business became very important to my ministry. And I'll share that part later on in other broadcasts. But just like anybody in business, I had problems. And one day, the Lord, he answered one of my concerns, things I had been asking him about. And what he said, it altered the course of my business. And I said to him, I said, Lord, I needed to know that a long time ago. How come you didn't tell me? I could have prevented a lot of problems. And he said this to me. He said, when a man leans to his own ways, his own understanding, he can't learn the ways of the Father. I'm going to say that again. When a man leans to his own understanding, he can't learn the ways of the Father. And when he said that, it took precedence to the wisdom that he gave. Now, I did use that wisdom and it helped. And right now, I really can't tell you exactly what he told me, but what he told me in response to my second question, it stood out more over time because he taught me how to follow God. After that, he told me in the 90s, he said, I drew near to the Lord and he drew near to me. And that's a story all by itself. And, you know, I used to go and worship and I would worship the Lord and I would go in his presence. And he would tell me things that I needed to know. And I learned how to follow. But he said, the biggest problem in the church is my people don't follow me. They don't follow through with the format he gives. Sometimes they don't stick to the word like they could. Sometimes they don't stick to the instructions of the Holy Spirit. See, when it comes to redemption, it's by the Holy Spirit. We don't know what to do without him, but we have the position and not the answer. We receive the answer, and then we can utilize the position. See, when the Lord calls us, he calls us for a reason. Sometimes it's the way he designed us, and he designed us with a purpose in mind, and we can fulfill that purpose by our faith. We follow God on two fronts: the Spirit of the Word, the written Word, and then we follow the guidance of the Holy Spirit, the spoken Word, what he speaks to us personally. The written Word is the foundation, because the Holy Spirit will never deviate from the truth of God's Word. He inspired that truth, and he also inspires the personal truth to us. And if we can follow through, we can do a mighty work. According to Daniel, he said, those that do know the Lord will do exploits, great works, things that Satan can't stop, and it will win souls. Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. And most people will not follow God on those two fronts. Some will start and stop. Some will receive instructions and think about it and ask other people and not do it. But few people will be laborers. And my prayer is that, you know, the rest of what Jesus said, pray that God will send laborers to the field. But every laborer must yield to the Holy Spirit and learn the following in order to be effective. A man can be as knowledgeable as he can become, but that won't cut it. That knife will not make the cut. You have to be obedient to the guidance of God, and that will make the cut. I'm going to read something in Zerubbabel chapter 4. Zechariah chapter 4. And this goes in line with the guidance of the Holy Spirit. Verse 1 reads, this is Zechariah chapter 4, verse 1 reads, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep, and said to me, What seest thou? And I said, I have looked, and behold, a candlestick, all of gold, and a bowl upon the top of it, and the seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spake unto the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Knowest thou not what these be? And I said, No, my Lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." This is one of my favorite Old Testament chapters. What he's saying here in verse 6, along with the olive trees and the candlestick, this shows us that all the pressure of ministry is removed as long as we obey the guidance of the Holy Spirit. I don't have enough sense to reap the harvest, but God does. I have the authority that He needs because I have a body. I was born on the earth, and I can operate in the earth. And the Lord can't operate on the earth like He wants to, except through His people. And I can prove it. That's why God had to become a man to redeem us. He had to become a living, breathing man to do the work it takes to redeem us. And the Savior had to qualify by having sinless blood. And there was no man on earth that had sinless blood, because the sin is transferred by the male, not the female. Another New Testament scripture shows us that because the woman was deceived. A woman can have a child that can qualify to be a savior, but a man can't father one, because his blood is sinful. Sin is transferred through the male, because Adam was not deceived at the fall. The woman was deceived at the fall. Adam did it by choice. And when the woman ate first, but when the man ate, then their eyes were open. That's when the sin was revealed. With God, everything has to be in order and legal. He can't break His word nowhere. And every miracle He did after creation, after He created man, every miracle was done through man. From the time that God gave Adam a lease on earth, He gave him 6 years, and on the seventh year, he'd run it. So, while we're under Adam's lease, you have the breathing body, and God has the knowledge it takes to direct you in life, to show you exactly what to do to be effective. Now, the format that he gives you will not just be acts of ministry. There will be instructions of prep to help you prepare yourself. He'll give you things to do, things to read. He'll show you things. All of the Old Testament prophets, they had something in common. They would, in their writings, they would say, the word of the Lord came to me saying. Now, when you study what the word of, now this is not something that they knew to pray for. The word of the Lord just came to them. But they acted on it. And when they acted on it, it always worked. And that's the pattern that you must receive. When the Lord puts something in your heart to do, you must do it. If he gives you a teaching, put that on the top shelf. That's what you, that's the main thing you're going to need to do. What does the Lord bring to you for you to do personally? Whatever it is, do it well. Put all your heart in it. Don't argue with the Lord. Receive what he's saying and mix your faith with it. So that work, so that you can finish. Now, let's look at a picture of what's happening. You got the candlesticks. You got the bowl on top. And you got the two pipes. He had the candlestick of gold. He had a bowl on up on top. Seven lamps thereon, and seven pipes to the seven lamps, which are on the top, and two olive trees by it, one on the right side and the other on the left side. And Zechariah wanted to know, what in the world is this? In verse 6, he said, and he answered and spake to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zechariah, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. It's not your strength that's might. It's not power that's the people. But it's by the Holy Spirit. So, on the radio, the Lord had me talking about what he pointed out to me, where Jesus was teaching, if your eye be single, your whole body will be full of light. Always keep your focus on what God is saying to you, what God is giving, instructing you to do. Never look within. Never look at yourself as the originator of what you're supposed to be doing. See, pride looks within, but faith looks to God, and fear looks to man. Everybody that looks to men, they always get in fear, and everybody that looks within, they are in pride. And since I said that, fear is an agent of pride, just like faith is an agent of love. So if you stay wholeheartedly in the love of God, looking to him only, and not be distracted by your own impulses and the impulses of other people, the thoughts and opinions. If you're distracted by them, your eye won't remain single. You have to stay focused on the heart of God. When the Lord show you a need, and then he show you how to solve it. When he show you a need, always ask him, well, what's my part? Understand, you can't do everything, but you can be effective. Doing what you can do to be effective. And sometimes people, in their zeal, they run out, they try to do something that's not going to, it end up not being as effective as it could be. But the Lord will show you how to be effective. And you're going to have to be patient and let him show you. You're going to have to hear him out and mix faith with what he's saying. Because you can work yourself to death, or you can operate by the Holy Spirit and produce life. The choice is ours. This is the pattern that God gave us. Let's continue on in Zechariah, because this is going to be the theme of some of the teachings that's going to come up next. And I'm going to share what God put on my heart. This is heart to heart. These teachings are for those who go on the website. This is not going to be aired on the radio. This is a special teaching to those who are hungry for the things of God. And I'm doing this at his word. This is one of my assignments. And you're part of it. And I thank God for it. I pray a blessing on everybody that listened to it, in obedience to the Holy Spirit. Okay. So verse 6 says, then he answered, saying, and spake to me, answered and spake to me, saying, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by the Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying, grace, grace unto it. Now, who in the world is Zerubbabel? Now, you Bible scholars may know. Zerubbabel is the linking ancestor in Jesus' lineage. Solomon, David's son Solomon, his line goes all the way to Joseph. And David had a son named Nathan. And his line goes all the way to Mary. Zerubbabel is the linking ancestor. See, let's go over to, we're looking at Matthew first. You know, it starts off with Solomon and it goes all the way down. Verse 12. And after they were brought to Babylon, Jeconias begat Salathiel, and Salathiel begat Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel begat Abiud. And it goes all the way down to verse 16. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So the line goes from Solomon to Zerubbabel. When he was in Babylon, he had a son named Abiud, and it goes all the way down to Jacob, which begat Joseph, the supposed father of Jesus Christ. But he was a supposed father. He was not blood related to Jesus. Now, on the other, Then the line goes all the way down from Zerubbabel. Here he is. From Nathan. In verse 23, let's see, I'll read verse 23. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. Now, Heli is Mary's father, because we know that over here in Matthew, Jacob begat Joseph. So Mary's father was Heli. And Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, had another son named Resa. And that line goes all the way down to Heli, Mary's father. So Zerubbabel is the linking ancestor. Now, back to Zechariah. The mountain that was before Zerubbabel is the law. All men broke the law, except Jesus. He was sinless. Jesus died for us. He washed all of our sins away. Sin entered the world through Adam, and it was washed away by Jesus Christ once and for all for everybody. So, the mountain, the law, became a plain before Zerubbabel, the linking Jesus Christ. See, Zerubbabel is the mystery that Satan couldn't figure out. He was the ancestor linking the two lines to Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ turned that mountain into a plain. All your sins that you've done, that we've done, Jesus washed those sins away, and that mountain that was standing between us and the kingdom of God has become a plain that we can walk across. That's what verse 7 is saying. Now we receive grace not to go back and do sins again. We have to live right if we're going to continue in the kingdom of God. Verse 8, moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts sent me unto you. And now we fully know that, yes, he did send you with this message, Zechariah. Verse 10, for who hath despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel with those seven, and they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro through the whole earth. See, the seven candlesticks, they are the seven spirits of the Lord. We have to, as we study the other books, we're going to see, it brings it all together. Isaiah talks about the seven spirits of the Lord, and Revelation talks about the seven spirits of the Lord and the seven candlesticks. When we listen to the Holy Spirit, he relates to us through those seven spirits. Wisdom, counsel, might, spirit of the fear of the Lord, as it talks about in Isaiah, spirit of knowledge. This is what has been missing. People have touched on it, they bumped into it, but they have not gotten the full benefit of following God. When you're focused on the Lord, your eye is single. When your eye is single, your whole body is full of light. At that point, you can operate in your faith, receive the knowledge of God, and go forward. And you'll see God do many, you know, begin a great work in you. And if you continue, you'll see Him finish it. So don't despise small beginnings. It's a blessing to you that everything starts small. Everything in the kingdom of God started out in seed form. Jesus Christ, one man. God took one holy man and redeemed the generations of the earth. From Adam to the last man born. And it's a mistake to despise small beginnings. And it's a mistake we don't have to make. As long as our eye is single and we look to Him, we can do this. You can do this. Well, what's the Lord going to do? I don't know. But whatever He tell you to do, make it happen. It's going to be good. Verse 11 reads, "Then as I said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left side thereof? And I answered again and said unto him, and what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes emptied the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered me and said, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth." So there were two men that were taken off the earth. One was Enoch and one was Elijah. And I believe that those are the two olive branches. Now, God does things in order.